under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion each and every day as we face the issues. We're facing an issue today that I believe should be on the hearts and the minds of every conservative, every Christian, every patriot in America. The question is, who's in charge? Who's in charge? I think it's things that we need to know in relationship to the executive office and the judiciary. Do we have an executive office in the officer in the Oval Office, i.e. the president? Or is he just a figurehead for the men and women in black robes to use as a puppet to tell him what he can do, when he can do, and how he can do it? I think we have a lot of people across America today that's, I believe, ignorant of our Constitution and our form of government. We have a constitutional republic with a representative form of government. We have three branches of government. Some say that's three equal branches, equal in the sense that they neither can have the authority over the other, and yet we see that taking place in America today. I'm looking at a headline, Unprecedented and Illegal. The DOJ seeks to halt the order by superjudge preventing Trump's executive decisions. U.S. Department of Justice has gone to the D.C. Court of Appeals to halt an order from a superjudge who is preventing President Donald Trump's decision-making and management of the executive branch of government. Superjudge is a derogatory term that has surfaced to describe those federal judges who take upon themselves to say that Trump cannot manage the executive branch of our government as he chooses, as the Constitution allows him to do. It is the Gateway Pundit that explained the fight is over a decision by Barack Obama judge who told the administration it must restore the position of a person that lost the job with the National Labor Relations Board. The DOJ's action is a request for an emergency motion halting the ruling from the judge, Beryl Howell, and the judge has been ordered to respond. And the article goes three pages long. That sets the precedence, sets the stage of where we're going. Who is in charge? I believe there are things that we need to know. And ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the monologue and the issues that we're talking about today, let me encourage us to pray for the families of those in the eye of the storm in several southeastern states when the tornadoes came through. 40 lives have been lost, the latest count, 40 dead as a result of the catastrophic tornadic actions in Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, and other parts of the southeast. Pray for them. Pray for strength and comfort and encouragement and provision. Can you imagine? Had it been you, me, others that we know? So let's pray for them. It is a staggering, awesome sight when you look at some of the newsreels as to the results. One, a massive school building. The entire roof was ripped out. And one of the school buses piled on top of the building. by the tornadoes. Awesome as we view it. And ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. The truth book, as Jesus speaks to his disciples in John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, we find a declaratory statement regarding the Word of God. John 17:17 says, "Thy word is truth." And ladies and gentlemen, in Psalms 117, verse 2, the Bible says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, truth ought to be embraced today perhaps more than ever in the history of our nation. We are witnessing the disintegration, the rejection of truth. It was George Orwell, the secularist, that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And if I can use a play on words, I believe that's the truth. I believe we're witnessing today a denigration, a disintegration of truth. The former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint, headline says, "DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth." Ladies and gentlemen, what do you do when there's no absolute truth? And yet 55% of the millennials, according to the latest survey, headline says this, "Most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth." In fact, if there's no absolute truth, where do you turn for truth? Where do you turn to find that which is actually true? Ladies and gentlemen, we need to turn back to the Word of God and recognize God's Word is true. And nothing should supplant it. Nothing should override it. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Let me quote the famous quote from Jan Hus. "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." That's my challenge. We need to go back to the truth. Seek it, find it, love it, live it. Tell it and be willing to stand and defend it to death, even if we're the only ones. Let's just picture you're in a room of 100 people bounding about issues, and you stand up and tell the truth, and you're maligned, you're challenged, you're questioned, you're denigrated, you're dissed, as the world calls it today, because you stand for truth. Should you buckle? Should you stand? Or should you in some way bend and comply with the general feeling of others? I say that we need to stand, even if you have to stand alone. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, with the full line of Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of the I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark and identifier. It's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Just one more moment of brief monologue, and we'll open our telephone lines. And lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. But, ladies and gentlemen, it appears today that a few federal judges, hear me, have determined that they have the power, the authority, and the ability to control America's Oval Office, better known as the presidential office. Listen, our Constitutional Republic, with a representative form of government, has three branches of government. the chief responsibility, ladies and gentlemen, of America's leadership is vested in the Oval Office with the President of the United States of America. The very important question that we ask today is this. The question that must be asked, demands to be answered by every citizen. Are judges' rulings to have the form of absolute over the presidency? Are judges' rulings from the bench the ones to decide foreign and domestic affairs for America? Does the President of the United States of America, listen, this is a pertinent question. Does the President of the United States of America have to obey an unconstitutional, illegal order from a judge if it counters what the Constitution says is the responsibility of the President? I know that's a deep question. Multitudes will throw up your hands and simply say, what if the court says it? That settles it. The President must comply. Is that true? If that is the case, ladies and gentlemen, with thousands of federal judges across America, can't they just jump in at any time and thwart the presidential orders and directions? Isn't it possible, if that is the case, ladies and gentlemen, that at all times, with every decision that any president would make, that a judge someplace in a small office with a small county and a small state with a small mind can write an order and shut the presidency down? Is that the way our Constitution is arranged? Is that what is legal? That's the question, and I'd love to hear from you today on that. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go over the question, comment, please.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Elbert.
Good morning.
I tell you, number one, I thank God for you, but I tell you, it is so crazy the way this country is going right now. It is just stupid. You got, I think, governors and mayors that refuse to let these illegals go, especially gang members. Is this crazy or not? Is this crazy?
Well, Kenneth, what we find that is fomenting today is the mindset that those that are the illegal invaders, once they come into America, even though they've come in illegally, even though they have broken the law, even though they should be immediately deported, there's the mindset among the loose likes, lost liberals, better known as the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party, there's the mindset that they're just as equal as we are as natural-born citizens in America. There's the mindset that Khalil, for example, that's now illegal in his basic attempt to overthrow America, that he has a constitutional right of freedom of speech. And so there's a fomenting across the nation, and that attitude of hatred and animus being taken out on Tesla and the Tesla dealerships, and especially with Elon Musk, because Muhammad Khalil has been picked up, arrested, yes, put in a jail in Louisiana, waiting to be tried for what should be called treasonous acts against America. But somehow there's a mindset, because he had a green card, that he's equal to an American citizen, therefore the constitutional Bill of Rights with the freedom of religion and the freedom of speech apply to him, and it does not. It does not. If you've come into this country illegally, if you're taking an illegal act, if you're trying to overthrow America, if you're trying to destroy the American constitutional way of life, then you are a person that needs to be immediately deported, caught, tried, convicted, and deported, or if you're not deported, imprisoned for the actions that you're carrying out. I'm looking at the headline that says, Muhammad Khalil, House Speaker Johnson becomes the latest to defend Columbia's protesters, arrest what we do know. And the article goes on with a massive five, six, seven pages about Khalil's background, what he's done, what he's doing. He is a puppet for Hamas and ISIS at the very least. And as a result of that, his being arrested is legal under the Constitution and all of the facets thereof. But somehow, some way, President Trump and Elon Musk are being blamed for it. And now there's the repercussions from those communist Marxists in America known as Democrats. And I think that we need to, I think that Pam Bond is right. She's going to start prosecuting those that are demonstrating, those that are burning Tesla automobiles, those that are destroying Tesla dealerships, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. She said, we're going to find you, we're going to catch you, we're going to prosecute you, and we're going to put you in jail. I believe that's the right act to be carried out, but somehow, some way, the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party feels that that's wrong. So I'm thankful for what President Trump is doing. I'm thankful for his position.
Yes.
But Kenneth, the question I want to ask you before we let you go, do you think President Trump should obey, hear me, should President Trump obey these judges? There's been about 100 suits filed against President Trump and Elon Musk since Trump was reelected. Should President Trump obey the orders of a judge against the president's decision from the Oval Office to run America? Who's right, the judges or Trump?
I tell you what, heck to the no, because number one, okay, when Crazy Joe was in there, and he wasn't in, I think it was Joe Soros, a couple of other people that controlled him, and they needed to be put in prison for their abuse of a senior citizen. But the way they're going, the Democrats, if you really look at history, the southern states, they wanted to keep slavery. So the northern states have to go with them, the 13 original colonies. They had to go with them to fight England for coming over. And it's so crazy. Yeah. Because I was a Democrat, I ain't gonna lie. But when
you got converted. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. When I really looked at the Democratic Party, I'm like,
Well, Kenneth, I've got one little footnote to add to what you are saying, but we got other callers on the line. But let me add that little footnote that I believe needs to be heard. Most people do not realize that in the South, when we talk about slavery, it was the Democrats that wanted to hold on to slavery in the South. Yes, it was from the South, but it's the Democratic Party, the Democrats, that wanted to hold on to slavery. And now they will try to make it sound like that anybody that's a Republican, somehow, some way, they want to go back to Jim Crow days, as they like to call it, which is an absolute farce, and it's designed to divide and destroy what we would call the conservative leadership and the role in America. But Kenneth, it deserves our prayer. I'm looking at a headline, and I'll talk about this further in a moment. No judge rules the executive branch. The Constitution crushes the myth of judicial supremacy, end quote. And I'm going to share that the balance of that article for the balance of the broadcast today. But Kenneth, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you, and keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. I believe Jim is on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. No, I don't believe that the judges should adjudicate legislation from the bench. James Boasberg, he's the one that recently told the president that those flights that had the Ortega Venezuelan gang members to turn around. The part that bothers me the most about this whole thing is we've got a Supreme Court that will not speak out. You know, Justice Roberts has absolutely let this insanity go entirely too far. They could stop it today if they would just make a ruling on it that these judges don't have the ability to exercise executive power as given by Article 2 of the Constitution. That also brings up one other point. I'm not exactly really thrilled with Pam Bondi. She released a statement after Judge Boasberg place the temporary restraining order onto the flights there. It said that they would comply with all future flights. Pam Bondi here as Florida's AG made quite a few things that I thought were telling of her personality. One was the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman case, and two was the red flag laws that she was a proponent for. On both cases, I think Pam Bondi kind of blew the way the wind was going. So I'm hoping that she turns it around, but I really don't have a lot of faith in her as far as the DOJ goes.
Jim, I'm thankful for what you said. I'm in agreement with you and Toto, but with a footnote, she is about 9,000% better than Merrick Garland. So I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful for the fact that she has a good, sharp legal mind. I think she's jumped into the fan, and the fan has gotten her a little befuddled as to what should be done. I'm going to read this to you, let you comment, then we'll take our next caller. This headline says, "No judge rules the executive branch. The Constitution crushes the myth of judicial supremacy. In a stunning display of judicial overreach, a federal judge has attempted to override the constitutional authority of the President of the United States of America. The district judge sitting in, this is one that's another case other than one about the flight over with the return of the aliens, sitting in San Francisco ordered six executive agencies to reinstate thousands of employees recently dismissed as part of President Donald Trump's lawful efforts to restore accountability and efficiency within the federal workforce. The judge's ruling purports to bind the Department of Defense, the Department of Veterans Affairs, Agriculture, Energy, Interior, and Treasury as if a single unelected jurist can dictate the internal operations of the executive branch." This second paragraph says this. Let's make one thing absolutely clear. No, and it's underlined, single judge, nor even a panel of them, has the constitutional authority to override, countermand, or nullify a lawful order issued by the President of the United States directed at officers within the executive branch. The assertion is not up for debate at all. It is a matter of constitutional design, historical precedents, and the plain language of the founding charter of our nation. Goes on then and takes apart Article 2, Section 1, says it's crystal clear the executive power shall be vested in the President of the United States of America. That's not a suggestion. It's not a partial grant. It's an exclusive vested into the presidency. And executive authority flows from the single office. Every officer is in every executive branch, and that is of the presidency of the United States of America, end quote. So we have very clear precedents set, I believe, in historical past. My only question, Jim, and you respond to this, this thing's going to hit the Supreme Court. The President Trump has acted constitutionally based on his authority vested in him by the Constitution of the United States of America, Article 2, Section 1, etc. How do you think the Supreme Court's going to rule? And I think the ruling will be within the next 90 days on some of these issues. What are your thoughts?
I believe the judge is completely in the wrong. He's politicized his bench and is doing it for personal gain. I'd like to see the money trail on that one there. Second thing is the Supreme Court, I'm not placing a lot of faith in Amy Coney Barrett. She had an opportunity to stop all this dead in its tracks there, and yet she was a dissenting view along with Sotomayor and who was the other one there? Anyway, it kind of left things limbo and out in the open. It'll be interesting to see if the Supreme Court will even hear this argument. Got to get to that point first.
That's the question. And with this previous Supreme Court 5-4, it was Judge Alito that said the ruling by the majority was, quote, his word, stunning, to say the least, end quote.
Yes.
Because it was so countered the constitutional authority vested in the president. Jim, it demands our prayer. demands that we as citizens recognize what God has given us, the freedoms that God has given us, that's codified in our Constitution, and especially within the Bill of Rights, and the way our Constitution is designed with our founding fathers, with their insight, foresight, and wisdom that gave us the protection for the things that's taking place today. I believe it's time, though, as Christians, we look at it not from a bleeding heart liberal standpoint, as so many are doing today. Well, you know, these illegals, they come in, sure, they broke the law, but sure, they need to have rights once they get here, et cetera, et cetera. It's a bunch of horse feathers. I think we need to go back to the fundamentals of how our Bill of Rights were given us, how our Constitution, our liberties that we have, and the form of government that God's given us. Jim, thank you so much for your insight.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comments today. Keep looking up. I believe Greg's on the line. Greg, go over the question or comment, please.
I have just a couple minutes, but I wanted to hit the fact that we're headed for a new constitutional crisis. There are hundreds of lawsuits that have been filed by leftist Democrats across America challenging every single blessed thing that Donald Trump has done, every single thing. And as we go down this path and these little, you know, federal judges are saying, hey, you know, we order you, Donald Trump, to do X, Y, or Z. what they're saying is we're going to usurp the power of the presidency. And we're going to say that, you know, and if you don't obey us, then you've flouted the constitutional order of things, that you're the problem. And think about this, the ordering that, hey, turn these planes around, bring these illegal criminals back into the country. Well, let's continue to spend the hundreds of billions of dollars a year to support these folks that are in the country illegally, and not just support them, but prosecute them, jail them, and have the absolute wake of destruction that many of them cause. And I say that, you know, absolutely without withholding, without regret. These individuals, some of them are horrendous offenders. The crime stats are off the chart. The idea that they're just here for working in our fields and doing jobs that Americans won't do. We keep hearing that. But you back up a step. Joe Biden and the leftist Democrats voted for so many of these crazy expenditures. They voted to and chose to, by executive order, cut holes in fences, stop the building of the fence, open up gates, open up. Literally, they were putting equipment on the border to destroy border fences built by the state of Texas. We spent federal money to allow the surge to continue. And the whole time we were being told by the left, by Joe Biden, by all of his talking heads, we were being told the immigration system is broken. We can't fix it. It's been broken for decades. We must legislate. There needs to be comprehensive immigration reform. And about 24 hours after Donald Trump entered the office, all of a sudden the flow was shut off on the southern border. So for 4 years, not only have we been lied to, but we've allowed a cancerous burden to enter our country. When I say that, and I want y'all to know this, this is extremely important. This is a massive moral crisis. As much as the left wants to say it's a moral crisis, not let everybody that wants to come here come here. Understand, half the world wants to come here. We've been gracious, we've been kind, we've been loving, we've been charitable as a nation. For 20 years plus, we've allowed a million folks to immigrate into the United States or to come here under a refugee status into the United States. That's more than any other nation on the face of the planet. But if we cannot control our borders, we are not a sovereign nation. Secondly, the other moral imperative is the financial thing. Now we have courts saying, hey, you must do X, Y, and Z. You must spend these funds. Okay, the money isn't there. Okay, so you must spend the funds that puts us into a spot that we can't afford. And at the same time, the Congress has to vote to expand our debt limit. You all just saying, which is it? You're separating authority and response. This judge is saying he has the authority to order this, but he didn't have the responsibility to tell us where the money's going to come from. That's what a chief executive does, folks. It's like time out. We got to stop the train because this thing is about to go off. The bridge is out. It's going to be a train wreck. It's going to be a horrendous accident, and you can see it coming many, many miles away. We must act today.
Absolutely, Greg. I am thankful for your statements. I don't know if your time would allow you to stay over until after the news break, but I've got another very serious question I'd love to ask you if you have time to wait about 2 or 3 minutes after our news, and we'll cover those. For example, Doge just slashed $620,000 from a pregnancy program for transgender boys. And we go back to the question, and I would like for you to deal with the three branches of government, the separation of powers, and what we see breaking down there. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there just a moment. We're going to have the top of the hour news. After the news, we'll come right back as we face the issues.
From First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, WAYL.